And so today, we talk about mold. Not mold in the house, although I have to say, ex-wife number three has got a giant mold problem in her house. And she's telling me that it's, you know, this is like the second time they've had to deal with it. And it's costing them gazillions of dollars in their insurance. When I was married to her, we had a mold situation in the closet, in the bedroom. And that was because the air conditioner, the air handler for the air conditioner at that time was located above the bedroom. And the little pipe that comes out of that goes down outside to, you know, drop off the condensing water that comes out of the thing when the air's on was right there. And it wasn't away from the house. It was kind of like right next to the house. And for a period of time, that water would drip down into the soil real deep. And next thing you know, it wicked its way through the concrete. Next thing you know, there's mold in our closet. And the next thing you know, I'm ripping a concrete wall in the closet going up there, but drywall above, you know, beyond there, fur strips, and then drywall attached to that. And we ripped out all the drywall, treated the concrete with disodium octaborate tetrahydrate, which kills mold instantly, does a great job. By the way, these mold removal companies will charge you a ton of money to do that. I figured out how to do it myself and did it myself. And for about $12 instead of $1,200. And then, because I am not handy, we had to have a young man who is actually a friend of my daughter's come over and put in new furring strips, because we ripped out the furring strips off the concrete because there was mold in that, you know, treated all that, put in new furring strips, put up new drywall, and make everything wonderful, great, and that was that. It cost us, you know, several hundred dollars with the drywall and paying him and all that, $12 to get rid of the mold. But, you know, now she, the house was built in 1968, and she's got pipes underneath the house that are leaking, and she already had the insurance company come in, and they ripped out her kitchen, which I had built for her. So they ripped out the kitchen that I had built for her, and she replaced it with a brand new kitchen, but not exactly like the one that I had built for her. And she had it upgraded because, you know, she's married again, and her husband said, let's upgrade everything. So they did, but they didn't get all the leaks. So they, you know, nice upgraded kitchen, nice upgraded floors throughout the house, all of which are now having to be ripped out, and the floors ripped out and start all over again, and they're fighting with insurance companies. But I digress. Mold inside a house, bad problem. Not my problem, her problem. Thank God it's not my problem. But anyway, mold on plants, mold, not so much fungus, but mold. What kind of problems do we have with mold on plants, and how do we deal with it? Well, let me tell you a common one that I run into all the time, mostly on potted plants. And these are potted plants like, Diffenbachias and pothos, things like that you want to keep a little bit moist. And as we have, you know, gone over the winter, we've kept it a little bit too moist. And what happens is this white moldy stuff comes up on the top of the soil and it looks ugly. And everybody panics and they want to throw their plants out. And you don't have to do that. I've gone and I have solved the problem. I've solved the problem 100% of the time. I said, well, let's ease up on the watering for a while. But, you know, but what about the mold? Oh, yeah, it's real easy. We'll get rid of the mold for you, and we'll get rid of it right now. I say, do you have a butter knife? What? Do you have a butter knife? Preferably one that you don't use very much that's, you know, kind of yeek. Yeah, okay, because I don't carry one of those with me. And I just scrape away the mold off the top. That's all. Just scrape it off the top. And then you're down to regular soil, and then you're all set and ready to go. Now, there are people who will sell you fungicides and all kinds of other stuff. No, just scrape it off. It will not hurt the plant. You can leave it there. It will not hurt the plant. It's actually not even a mold. It is actually a fungus that is just there, and it won't hurt anything. Don't worry. Be happy. Everything is going to be wonderful. Now, let's go with the other one. All right. And that is white mildew that we see on large leaf plants outside. Okay, what have I seen these on? I've seen these on, I've actually seen them on spathiphylliums outside. I have seen them on ear plants. I have seen them on anything that's wide leaf. Once in a while, you will see this on there. And again, they want to sell you a fungicide. I'm going to tell you how to get rid of it yourself, all by yourself, kind of naturally, but not really naturally, but you know, it's homemade. I don't know if it's natural or not. Baking soda, not baking powder, baking soda. Mix some with some water. Shoot a little bit of Dawn dishwashing soap in there. If you have Amway LOC, I like that better. But if you don't have that, the Dawn is working pretty well. And I haven't done it lately, but in the past, I've added a little bit of vegetable oil, just a squinchy little bit of vegetable oil. And you spray the plant with that, and the baking powder tends to get rid of the mildew. And over the next week or so, just come out and kind of hose all that stuff off, because that's what will happen, and it will look better. Does the white mildew harm the plant? Yes, because it is stopping photosynthesis from happening, because it is shading off the plant in that area. So yes, it's good to get rid of that. That's the way I get rid of it without going and using a big bunch of chemicals. And it works wonderfully. It works absolutely wonderfully. Now comes the one that everybody panics on. Everybody, and especially in the South, but it happens everywhere across the country. It happens in Arizona. It happens in Michigan. It happens everywhere. And you've got a beautiful plant. It could be a crepe myrtle. It could be, you know, anything, okay? It could be anything that you've got going out there. And then you will walk out there one day, and you will see this black, sooty, moldy stuff everywhere. And you go, oh, my God, the plant's going to die. And you see it on the wood. You see it on the leafy part of the plant. And you go into, like, panic mode. You go, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? All right, let me tell you what that is. That is not a problem. That, my friends, is a result of a problem. So we have to get rid of the problem that is causing the results. And the problem that is causing the results can be a couple of things. Now, in the case of some of our tropicals, you might turn the leaf over and you might find some scale on there, okay? Tea scale or something like that. And what happens is the scale poop. And when they poop out that black, sooty, well, it's kind of a honeydew material that once they poop it out, it turns black and gets moldy. So thus, it's called black, sooty mold. Oh, man, just think about that. That's disgusting. So initially on the situation with the scale, you're saying, well, we got to spray something on that scale. I generally don't. I generally will let the beneficials handle that. And usually they will. As a matter of fact, if you closely examine those scales, you may see a little tiny hole inside the scale, on the scale. If that is the case, that means a beneficial has been in there and sucked out the scale and you're good. And that's, you know, it's nature's way. And that's what I like to do. And that's it. Now, how else do we get the sooty mold? It also can come from whitefly. And it can also come from mealybugs. And the whitefly are very problematic on certain plants. And they will come in the spring, and they're just chomping all around. And you see the sooty mold as a result because of the mildew, powdery mildew. You see the mildew, and then it turns black, and it's real, real ugly. You got to get rid of them. Now, there are all kinds of pesticides to get rid of them. I don't use them. I, once again, use soap. And the soap I use is the Amway LOC, but I would try the Dawn. I think that would work. And I would do repeated sprays with that. Now, what else is that doing besides getting rid of the whitefly? By the way, mealybugs is another thing. On new growth, you see mealybugs, and then you'll see, once again, the powdery mildew, the white sooty mold. And once again, I don't use an insecticide. I use a soap. I don't object to you using an insecticide, Perhaps I would go with an organic insecticide, a botanical organic, but I just use Amway LOC is what I use. And besides smothering the whitefly, besides smothering the mealybugs, and it does a good job of that, the other important thing it does is you put that on, and at first you don't do anything with it. You just sort of let it sit there. And then I come back about 45 minutes later, and I blast it with the hose, and it actually cleans off the black sooty mold. So there, we've talked about mold in the house, in my ex-wife's house, strange, and on plants. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. Are listening to the absolute darn it all best gardening show out there in on the radio universe and in the podcast universe and in the blogosphere and anywhere else that I stick it. It's the best one. I'm just telling you. It's really darn good. You know why? Because I make it that way. Darn it. Look, I was going to say damn it and I said darn it. Wasn't that good? Oh, I just said, anyway, I got to tell you, fall is coming. We're in mid-August right now. As I record this, it's the exact middle of August. And as fall comes, I want to tell you what I do with houseplants that everybody else does in the spring, but I do it in the fall. And people say I'm wrong, but I'm always successful, so I'm right. Which is why, by the way, you're listening to the damn best, and I went ahead and said it, the damn best gardening show of all. Maybe I'm wrong, though. You know, I'm not wrong about being the best, but maybe I'm wrong about what I'm doing because maybe I'm giving you really bad information. But if there's one thing I learned from my late mom is that when it comes to gardening, there's really no rules because I would give her all these rules and she never followed them and she was a much better gardener than me any day. So what I started doing, and I started doing this in 1989, I turned things around and I started doing this. I remember being on the radio in 1989 telling you the proper way to do this with houseplants and to do it in the spring. And then all of a sudden I just said, you know, I'm real busy in the spring. I got things going on. I want to, you know, the grass is starting to grow and you know, I got stuff to do. I don't want to do this in the spring. I want to do it in the fall when there's not a lot of stuff to do. I want to do it before, you know, fall gets really fall busy. And somebody wants to put up fall stuff in the house. You know something? Since I have been single, I have never put fall stuff up in my house. And I'm so happy about that. I am so thrilled. All of my ex-wives, all three of my ex-wives, they do what's called falling their houses. And in fall, they put up all this fall. Man, since I have lived here 13 years now, this month, 13 years, I have not falled this house one time. I will not let one fall-looking thing in here. And when Halloween comes, I've got an electric pumpkin that I stick out front and I plug in. That is my only decoration, which, by the way, is fabulous. You know, the guy across the street, they probably spend $3,000 putting all this Halloween stuff. Mine's better. It's just this little plastic electric pumpkin that I stick out there and plug in. And there it is. Yeah, it's great. It's not intimidating. Kids come to the house, get candy. It's not. That's that. If I do anything fall, it's that. And I only do it on Halloween day. I don't drag the thing out of the garage until Halloween day. Plug it in at 9 o'clock when I'm all done with dealing with the kids. I unplug it, throw it back in the garage, and there it is until next year. So I haven't had to change the bulb on it once. This is good. I'm happy about all this. But here's what I do in the fall that everybody else does in the spring, and it's with my houseplants. And here is what I do with that in the fall. I take all of my houseplants out on the porch, outside. I take every one of them, and then I pull them out of the pots, and I analyze the roots. That's the first thing I do. If the roots are wrapping around too much, I have a really sharp pair of great big scissors. Now, you can also use hand clippers, but I've got this really big, and it's just for gardening, pair of scissors that I got at 30 years ago. I don't know where I got it, but I keep it sharp. I got this little scissor sharpener. I keep it, and it works great. I just jam it in there, and I cut through it, and I trim those roots out really, really well. Then I jam it back into the pot. And then the next thing I do is I will take water just on the hose very lightly, not heavy, very lightly, and I will hold that over it for about 5, maybe 10 minutes, depending upon what I'm doing. If I'm listening to something really good on the headphones, it's depending, you know, like one time I was listening to Inagata Nevada by Iron Butterfly. That's 18 minutes long. That plant was drenched, man. I was just, but I try to stay to 5 to 10 minutes. So, you know, a short podcast. And, you know, that's what I do. That's how I occupy. But that is called flushing all the soluble salts. And, you know, you've been putting plant food in there all year. You've been doing all this. I want to give it a fresh start. I just want to give it a fresh start is what I want to do. And then the very last thing that I do, just to make everything dandy, is I take a 1 gallon bottle, a jug, and I put one cap full of Super Thrive. If you don't have Super Thrive, you can use Ortho Root Stimulator. I like Super Thrive. Buy it on Amazon. I'm not connected. They don't pay me any money. I'm a customer. I buy my own. And but I put that in there. And the last thing that I will do is this ground is now saturated. The soil is saturated with water, but it's been draining through. I will put just a little bit of the water with Super Thrive. Not much, just a little tiny bit with the Super Thrive in there. And that Super Thrive will work its way down slowly into the roots, and it'll keep the plant from going into shock. And it actually revitalizes everything. There is 50 vitamins and minerals in there, and it does a wonderful thing. And that's what I do, and then I let everything dry out really, really good, and then I put the plants back exactly where they were in the house. Now, why do I say put it exactly where they were, and if you can, in the exact same way that they were? Because I'm going to tell you something about plants. By the way, I just saw this movie today on Amazon Prime called Destination Wedding. And the actress in there, the lead, would breathe on her houseplants before she left to go on this destination wedding. She'd just, I don't know why. People do that, though. People do. But anyway, and then when she got to the hotel, she's doing the same thing to the plastic plants that were in the hotel. People have neurosis. I have lots of them. Trust me. I understand this. Okay. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, put it back. Now, there's some things like a weeping fig houseplant. Every time you move one of those things, they drop all the leaves. They get really mad. They get really, really, really mad. So try to put everything back exactly as it was. And then the plants will not go into shock because you've used the Super Thrive. So this is very important that you've done that. And then when you're all done, your plants are going to be nice and happy. And then as we go into fall and as we go into winter, and even when they're in the house, they slow down, even though you have the heat on in the house. They slow down because they know. Plants know. People think plants are dumb. Plants aren't dumb. Plants have instincts, just like Captain Kirk used to. He'd say, I have instincts. I know these things. Was it Captain Kirk or was it T.J. Hooker? I don't remember. But anyway, plants. Remember T.J. Hooker? That was like the most terrible show that William Shatner. Gosh, that was just an awful, awful show. Anyway, plants have instincts, just like T.J. Hooker or Captain Kirk. I forget which. What a drag it is getting old. And they know, so they slow down in the wintertime. And because you've gotten rid of all the soluble salts and all the garbage that's in there, I was going to say another word, and I didn't. But, you know, it was crap, by the way. The word was crap. I was going to use that, but I didn't use it. You've gotten rid of all that, and then you've revitalized it by putting 50 vitamins and minerals in there, and your plants are going to be happy all winter. And in the spring, you can do fun stuff. How's that? Do you know what brings me joy? Do you know what makes me happy? Which makes me smile? Which it just enhances my being? Oh, hi everyone. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I am the chief geek in charge here. And we're not going to talk about my joy. Well, yeah, we are because I'm the one who's talking. But we're going to talk about other stuff in just a minute. But what brings me joy, do you know what it is? Eating yellow cake with chocolate frosting. I just love it. And, you know, I haven't baked one in a while, and it's about time. And Zach's girlfriend baked me one, you know, and that was like really nice. But I don't want to impose, you know. I just don't want to. So I'm going to bake one myself tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to bake one, and that will bring me joy. But you know what else brings me joy? Doing this, showing up here every week and producing this audio and doing it wonderfully. Now, the way that I have done this for the past 33, almost 34 years has changed rather dramatically because I used to walk into a studio down in St. Peter, well, first in Tampa. I walked into a studio in Tampa that was built at Chuck Carter's old house, but Chuck Carter moved out of that house, but it was in his garage that where the studio was, and the house was all offices because the old Sun Radio Network was just growing like leaps and bounds. And Chuck moved out of his house and bought a house on the Hillsborough River where he was happy. But anyway, he had this house and he had the studio back there. It was in the garage, but it's a pretty cool studio. It was really nice. But I would just walk in there, and just before you walked into the studio, there was a little table where there was always something to eat. You know, it was pretty good. It was always something to eat. So I'd grab something to eat, and I would go in there, and I would sit down, and I didn't have to, you know, there was, on the other side of the glass was a producer. And in that little room where the producer was, there was a giant mixing board, and there were preamplifiers, and there were, I mean, just all kinds of technology in there that was just amazing. Okay, it was just mind-bogglingly amazing. I didn't know how to do any of it. I knew how to do none of it. All I did was take my fat behind in that room, sit down in front of Mr. Microphone, and I had two switches. One switch turned on the microphone and turned it off. That was one switch. That was all I had to do. Whoop, whoop, that's it. And then there was another switch in case somebody said a bad word and my producer didn't get it. I had a little thing that I could push because the radio show went on a 7-second delay. And I remember Jack Ellery, the program director, saying, that is the dumb switch. If somebody said, you know, you push that button and make sure you push that button well within the 7 seconds, because if that goes out over the world, your life as you know it is going to end. I said, oh, wow, man, that's an important button. And it was right next to the button that turned on the microphone. And, you know, I was young. One day I was in there and I was talking and, you know, going on. And we were getting ready to go into commercial and I shut off the microphone. But I didn't shut off the microphone. I pushed the dump button. And when you push the dump button, lights go on, people jump up and down and all kinds of, and everybody's yelling at me. You push, it's right next to that button. So sure enough, they moved the dump button about 8 inches over so that wouldn't happen. As it turns out, I wasn't the only one who did that. But boy, did I feel bad. But anyway, technology. That's all I did for years. And then I moved to St. Petersburg. They moved the studio over there, walked into a little room. I didn't even have to turn the microphone on. They did that on the other side of the double bulletproof glass. All I did was talk. That's it. I looked, you know, I had nothing to look at. There was a computer screen telling me who was calling in, you know, Richard from Wheeling, West Virginia, one of my, you know, terminal crank callers would call in and I'd say, Richard from Wheeling, West Virginia. I would, you know, that's it. I just talked. And then I went to work back for Chuck Carter again with the People's Radio Network, but that was in White Springs, Florida. And he said, Michael, we're going to come to your house. I'm going to send some guy named Blinky down to your house. And he's going to install a radio studio in your house. Now, do you have a room that you're not using? I said, yeah, I just bought this 4-bedroom house. And it's just me and the lovely Mrs. Kroos, and my two boys are there once in a while. But yeah, I've got a spare bedroom, you know. Yeah, sure, not a problem. All right, We're going to put in this Switch 56 line. There's going to be engineers. There's going to be helicopters, all kinds of stuff showing up at your house. But in the meantime, you have to come up to White Springs every weekend. We have a hotel, the beautiful and historic Telford Hotel. We have a suite for you. You have to drive 220 miles up there and do the radio show, and then you can hang out by the pool or go down to the Suwannee River or go to the bar across the street and get plastered. Whichever you want to do, you can do that. I said, okay, wonderful. Sounds good. So sure enough, they came and installed. Blinky showed up at the house and installed the studio, and these other engineers from the phone company and all these people came, and they installed. It was a big deal back then. It was, you know, not so much now, but back then it was a big deal. And the Switch 56 line, I remember the people from the phone company. There was like three trucks and guys with suits and ties and other guys. And one guy saying, you know, we usually put this stuff in stock brokerages. Why are we putting this in your house? And I said, I'm a drug dealer, and I have to stay in touch with the cartel down in Colombia to let them know. And I said it with the straightest face in the world. I don't know how, why. And they're all like, blah, blah, blah. No, it's a radio show. Just, I don't know how any of this works. It's a radio. And Blinky was there, and Blinky said, no, we're not a drug. Anyway, Blinky was mad at me for saying that. But I, you know, it's just uncontrollable, and I have virtually no filter, which is why I need a dump button. But anyway, that I didn't have control. So anyway, they said, in that case, I just looked at a computer screen, and they would connect with me when the show came on. And the way I would hear them connect, and I was supposed to talk. I was supposed to talk to let them know that I had connected and they could understand me. And they would have different board ops working, and I was kind of crazy, right? So they would connect, and instead of me talking, I would just hold the Electro Voice E20 microphone down to a cassette recorder that I had, and every week I would have a different song. And I would just play a song instead of saying, "Are you?" And I'm playing a song. And the first time I did it, this guy, you know, was up at the other end. He was going nuts. He goes, "I'm only hearing music. I don't hear my." It was great. You know, they're calling the house. You know, but anyway, I basically did the same thing. Just sit in there, listen on my headphones, talk. Same thing as going in studio. And that went on for years. I even, you know, that radio network folded up, and I went to work for the Biz Talk Radio Network, who I'm with now, but they were in New York and in Connecticut, and they just used the same studio that I had because when People's Radio Network went away, they never came and got their studio. I just kept doing the same thing, you know, still doing everything's wonderful. Then it moved up to a situation where I had to the show got moved. Guy by the name of John Patch. You may know John Patch, Talking Pets. He worked at the network then, and I don't know, John Patch was mad at me for some reason. I don't exactly know why, but he was found himself in a position to move my show. He found himself in a position to move my show, and he moved my show to 4 o'clock in the morning. At which point I said, well, I'm not doing the show live anymore. They said, fine, you can pre-record it. I said, fine. And so I started pre-recording, but I would, same thing, I would just go in at 10 o'clock in the morning, sit down, they'd connect with me, and I would do the show. I just didn't have callers. You know, that's all. Like right now, we don't have callers. Just did the show. And that was fine. Well, then the Business Talk Radio Network sold out to an outfit in Texas that owns it now. New people. Okay. And my boss up in Connecticut, guy by the name of John Iannuzzi, said, Michael, you're going to have to start producing this thing yourself, because when this thing gets moved to Texas, they're not going to meet you at 10 o'clock in the morning and do this. You're just going to have to start delivering them a show. I said, what? You're going to have to start delivering them a show. I said, I don't know how to do that. And they said, well, we're going to teach you. I said, okay. So sure enough, they send down an engineer. Engineer sits me down in front of this software that I'm working right now. It's called Adobe Audition. It is the premier. It is top of the line audio software. And he taught me how to put my music in, how to do all this stuff. And I learned how to do it. I said, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. I could do this. And I got to where I could actually do it pretty well. And then this thing happened. December 1st, 2013. Why am I telling you all of this? I got very sick and was in the hospital for a month and a half. I came back from that, and I could not use any software. And that was at the time, by the way, they were playing replays of my show while I was gone for 6-8 weeks, you know? And I came back, and Ian Uzzi said, listen, the new people take over. You know, in 2 weeks, you got to start producing a live show again. And I realized I no longer knew how to do it. I no longer knew how to do it. And thus, I had to sit down and teach myself how to do it again. And the first show I did, when I came back from being sick, it took me 6 hours to crank out this one-hour show, and it was awful. Got better every week. Every week, got a little bit better. So now you learn something. I think I've told it before, but just told it again. Continuing here on Ask the Garden Geek, I haven't been talking about gardening in the last segment. I've been talking about technology and my plight with technology. And I used to be pretty darn technical. And then I got sick, and then I wasn't technical. And then I got well, and I had to get technical again as far as producing this radio is concerned and editing audio and doing all of this. And frankly, while I use this very high-end software, I do not know how to use anything in it. It does all kinds of marvelous things. I don't know how to do any of it. I know how to produce this show. And I had another friend over on the other coast kind of tell me how to do this the way I do it to make it just like a live radio show. And that's what I do. And my post-production on a one-hour radio show takes me approximately 6 minutes to where other people who do like a 20-minute podcast we'll spend 3 hours in post-production, but because of the way I had friends help me set this whole thing up, I do it in 5 minutes. And that's if I'm taking my time. And show comes out wonderful. Now, getting away from that and getting up to technology, and I was talking about things that made my heart sing. When I first moved into this house 13 years ago, my son Zach was 11 years old, and he lived with me. And Zach and I used to make videos, and we edited videos. Now, we made silly videos of him running around in the front yard with his friends, climbing trees, and just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But I had an interesting little digital camera, and I was using a software thing called Sony Vegas that I bought. And I got to where I was pretty good at editing videos, and Zach got really good at editing videos. And while he was young, before he became super teenager and lost interest in anything to do with dad, we are still very, very close, but, you know, he's got a girlfriend he lives with, he's an adult, he's 24. But in that young period of time, we did all that. Well, then in 2013, December 1st, I got sick. Long story short, I had four, count them, not one, not two, not three, but four general anesthesias in a 7-day period. And I don't know if you know this or not, but general anesthesia destroys your brain. Well, I don't know if it destroys your brain, but it certainly set mine back. I don't know what it'll do to you, but I'll tell you what it did to me. I had to learn how to drive again. My daughter had to teach me how to drive again. I wasn't sure. I went into rehab, they taught me all the basics, like, going to the bathroom and that sort of stuff. But, when I came home, I wasn't sure how to do a lot of things. I wasn't exactly sure how to use my microwave. How's that? My daughter taught me. I wasn't exactly sure how to change the filter in my water thingy in the refrigerator. My daughter taught me. Driving? No, I totally forgot how to drive. And she's driving my SUV while I'm in the hospital and while I'm away from all this. And I said, I got to start driving again. And she says, well, I like using your car. I said, well, I will drive you to work. And, but you have to teach me how to drive again. And she literally had to, I remember I taught her how to drive. It didn't take me that long to get back into it, trust me. And she worked very short distance from where I am, where I live. So it was all back roads. But before I get out on the big roads, that took about a month, month and a half before I could do all of that again. And editing videos and doing this, this was all like a giant challenge. And I could not do videos anymore, which brings me to where we are now. Because now I have gone out and I bought a pretty good video camera. And I bought some pretty good video lighting for this studio. And I've done, you know, and I got a different, I tried to do Sony Vegas and it was, I got to tell you, still doing things on a computer is really hard for me. It really is really, really, really hard for me. And I discovered, though, on an old computer that I had tons of plant video out there that I had taken. Tons of it. Plus, I've been playing with this new camera and shooting all kinds of stuff with the new camera. But editing, you know, actually, I've had the camera for a year. And I've shot a lot of video, but I haven't edited anything. And I just got a new, easy-to-use video editing program that was recommended to me by a friend at the Tampa Bay Technology Center. So as we go into winter, I'm going to teach myself how to edit. And we are going to have, as this turns into strictly a podcast and no longer a radio show, we will have a video aspect to it. And I'm going to be doing plant videos and also just sitting in here talking in the studio videos and doing that sort of thing. My son, Kyle, who lives in New York, is a lighting and technical director for theater. This is what he does. You know, he builds sets, designs lighting, does all kinds of stuff like that. And he has advised me on my lighting. He's going to be down here over the holidays, and he's going to come over and fine-tune the lighting for me. And, we're just going to do that. We're going to shoot video in this studio. Plus, with this, I got a camera in here just for that. And then, in addition to that, I got this other nifty camera that I take out with me to shoot video of plants and other stuff, and bugs, and soil, and water, and all kinds of stuff that, you know, will now be introduced into the show. But that's going to take some time because, like I say, I've been shooting video now, but I do not edit video. And I'm going to spend this weekend kind of that. I've been told I can learn the basic editing of this software in 2 hours. Well, a normal person can learn it in 2 hours, but I have this thing with technology. I really, truly do have this thing with technology. It will probably take me half the day or longer to get the basics down. And, you know, it didn't used to be that way. I used to sit down technology and go, well, I can do all this stuff. But I'm going to learn how to do that. And I'm going to start, you know, hopefully by Christmas time, I will start producing videos. And here's what I know about videos. This is what I know so far. It's the same thing about doing this sort of thing. The most important thing that you have to do when you shoot video is have good audio. So that much I know. And I have bought good audio. I bought lavalier microphones that we've been testing. Pretty good. And I am looking at a Rode shotgun mic that I'm, you know, going to try that out. So the other thing is good lighting. I now have good lighting. Good video, good camera, and you have to look at me. And it's a darn good thing. You know, I'm fat, I'm balding, but it's a darn good thing I'm still incredibly good looking. That's all I got to say. Oh, well, stay tuned for more fun stuff to come in the future. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek.